Okay, let's talk a little bit foliar diseases now, after 2 days of everything else. I always looked at aerulate mildew, and I mean, it popped up every once in a while as an extremely minor disease in cotton, and maybe, for all I know, maybe next year it still will be. It's incited by Ramularia gasoffii. It actually was described on cotton in the Auburn area back about 1892, maybe. But by and large, there's very little mention of it as far as Alabama cotton is concerned, and it's pretty much for the southeast. As I said, it's kind of been a curiosity. I know I've had some trials down in Bruton, one where it showed up pretty consistently for several years, but on other cotton trials at the same location, and it's not a big research farm, there was none. But it has started to pop up a little bit, maybe more endemic in East Georgia. And I talked with some of the Monsanto folks, and they saw a good deal of it in 2017 in that area. And then come 2018, it started marching to the west, the opposite direction of old Civil War General Sherman. And let's not go there. Bob wants to come up here and help me.
We don't need to be talking about old history
today. Well, I'm old, so that's history too there, Bob. In 2018, it started showing up in late July and early August, particularly in central Alabama. It spread very rapidly. We had a lot of complaints from consultants in that area. And it was particularly troublesome on some of our wider planted varieties. But at least at this point in time, there really isn't that much information as far as the impact of this disease on yield. So it's kind of hard in some respects to make recommendations to growers as to what to do. Now, I know that in one of the posters here, Matthew did have a chart on the relationship between defoliation and yield as it influenced by aerulate mildew. But anyway, in India, 21 to 26% yield losses. I know it's a serious disease in Brazil where they make many applications on susceptible cultivars, but they mainly manage the disease with resistant lines. There are some planting date effects. It certainly looked like this year that it was much more damaging and later than earlier planted cotton. But then in central Alabama, most of it's planted the first or second week in May, and even so was having a field day there. But it is cultivar specific, and it just so happens that the most widely planted variety or cultivar in the state of Alabama is sensitive to aerulate mildew. And so, but there is a definite impact of cultivar out there. This is just a test in central Alabama in a field right off of I-85, and this is shortly after cutout, so the disease didn't have any impact on yield, but you could clearly see that the Stoneville 4949 and the cropland variety have a whole lot more leaf shed than the Phytogen 320. So you get a much better leaf retention on that Phytogen line than you are getting on the other two lines. And you can see in the background, there are some other green plots out there. This is an OBT trial at the field crops unit, and there's 40 different lines in this particular trial. To give you an idea of the development of disease in central Alabama, this is some June planted cotton about 7 miles from the previous, the location of the test in the previous slide. We have Phytogen, Delta Pine, and Stoneville lines. In this particular study, there's actually, it's a factorial with a fungicide and a non-fungicide treated control subplots in it. So we're just looking at the non-fungicide treated plots here. And there are differences in the rate of disease development and ultimately the level of defoliation among the lines that were screened. And for example, that Phytogen 450 got its lights knocked out at this particular location as compared with either 340 or 490. Again, one of the Delta Pines, 1538, had some issues. We had lesser levels of defoliation on the other two lines, and the most widely planted line in Alabama is 1646. And And it is among the highest, if not the highest yielding line in all of our OVT and other research variety trials. And it had a lot of issues in the field, but not in this particular study. It may have been due to the planting date. And then the Stoneville lines, a little bit less overall defoliation, but there's still some differences among the lines that were screened. And this slide just shows the cover spray or umbrella fungicide program, which is multiple, I think it's two or three fungicide applications at this location, they took out the aerulate mildew. There was none. But if you look at the non-treated for the among the varieties, it gives you an idea of the separation among the varieties and the level of defoliation. And there was, again, that 450 had by far the highest level of defoliation. And then you go down in equally low levels for 1553 and Stoneville 5020. So, again, some nice separation among the varieties at this particular location. Now, of course, the question would be is, I don't have the yields for this test yet. It was harvested, and it'll be interesting to see how the yields break out among these different varieties. Had literally the same designed study at the field crops unit down the road, and this was May planted cotton, early May, so we got a month in between the two trials, and instead of 450 getting clocked, it was 340. Had the highest level of defoliation, and the 520, which looked good at the other location, had a moderate level of defoliation, and then there are lesser levels on many other lines. And then the fungicide treatments, again, a three-application program here, Paraxor plus Bravo Ultrax, and it took out all signs of the aerulate mildew. These are the yields from this test. And one of the things that showed up is there's not necessarily a lot of agreement between the amount of, except maybe for the 340, the amount of defoliation in the yields. We did get significant yield gains with the fungicide cover spray program on the 450, 1538, the 1747, and the 5471. So, but it doesn't necessarily line up particularly well with the level of defoliation that we had from the aerulate mildew. And there was some target spot in this trial as well, but the level of defoliation from target spot was not particularly high. To get a look at a large number of varieties, this is some data from one of the OVT trials. This was in Headland. It's an early, the early Flex OVT. It was planted again in June. It did not get harvested due to Michael. Got blown out. But in yellow are the high and low varieties. So there was an Americot line that got absolutely plastered. Very high level of premature defoliation in comparison with Phytogen 320, which was one of the lines that has looked better in some other trials. Very little defoliation due to aerulate mildew. So you can look at the Phytogen lines here. Some of them again had severe issues. 330 and 340. 340 had some problems in one of the other trials with this disease. But then you look at some of the later maturing Phytogens. And relatively little disease-related defoliation, and the same thing is true. You get some variation among the Americots, all of which had less damage than the Americot variety that down at the bottom that's been highlighted. The Delta Pine lines, again, it was early maturing tests, so some of our, other than 1646, some of our other more popular Delta Pines were not included in this particular study. Nevertheless, there are a good bit of difference among the lines from Delta Pine with 1646 and 1518 and 1614 being more among the more sensitive lines, and then 1820 looked pretty good. There's your Stoneville lines, none of which particularly stood out as being sensitive to aerulate mildew. There was a full-season Flex variety trial at the same location. This test was planted in early May. There was a three or four-week gap between the planting dates. That was not intended. You know, we had the same problem everybody else did. Once the heavens opened up, we couldn't do anything for about a month. And The other thing about this trial was it had a lot of target spot in it, so it kind of interferes with some of the disease ratings, but you can clearly see at least like 1646 had the least amount of target spot defoliation in this trial, but it had higher levels of defoliation, but the overall level of disease was much lower in this particular trial than it was in the later planted study. So it does look like there is a planting date effect, but that needs to be looked at a wee bit more. So anyway, there's your Delta Pine varieties. There's just a lot less defoliation, but one of the things that did show up is some of those phytogen lines that looked very good in the early Flex variety trial also showed up very well here with little or no defoliation attributed to the aerolate mildew. So basically, there's still a question as to whether or not aerolate mildew really affects yield, and to some degree, what are we going to maybe pass on to the growers in 2019? We had a fair amount of quadris or generic azoxystrobin applied to cotton in central Alabama and maybe some other parts of the state to help manage aerolate mildew. And by and large, it seemed like it did help, but I don't know whether we're getting any yield benefit out of those treatments. There's certainly a great deal of difference in the response of the commercial lines to aerolate mildew. It's certainly possible that we can use cultivars as a means of avoiding disease issues in the field, but one of the things is, and I mentioned at the bottom, we have 1646, which proved to be pretty sensitive to aerolate mildew. And I did make an earlier comment. If you look at our variety trials, it's one or two in every one of them. So when you look at yield and quality factors, they're going to plant 1646. So we may be in a situation we're going to have to maybe look at fungicides as a means of managing this disease rather than telling, well, plant phytogen 440 or 480, which doesn't get aerolate mildew. It may not work on their farm. There were some inconsistent defoliation levels, as I showed earlier, particularly between locations that were 7 miles apart. That probably was partially due to planting date and possibly weather effects. Again, at this point in time, we don't know how weather patterns influence the epidemiology of aerolate mildew. If you go look at the literature, there's really nothing out there. It's a blank sheet of paper. So there's a lot of opportunities, particularly if this disease continues to be an issue for further research projects. And who knows what we're going to face in 2019? We don't know what the weather's going to be. So we'll just have to see where we go with this, but we do know that we may have some issues with 1646. Thank you.
Questions?
Yeah, Jason.
Which fungicide did you use in your spray-to-spray comparison?
It was Praxor. It was Praxor at either 6 or 8 fluid ounces plus a pint of Bravo. Yeah, it pretty stout. One of the issues is that if you look at fungicide labels, only Quadris has aerolate mildew on the label. Now, they all got they got cotton on the label, they got the site and the timing, but there's only one product that has it on the label.
What's your recommendation going to be if you were making recommendations?
It's kind of like, it's one of those things is aerolate mildew may be beneficial if it shows up at the end of August and knocks the leaves off. So timing is everything. If you have cotton, it's first, second, third, fourth week of bloom, and it's really rolling on, yes, you probably spray. But if you're out at 6 and 7 week of bloom, and basically the cotton's ready to cut out, use it as a defoliant. That's about the same time frame. Yeah, you get out at the end of August, and some of the other trial I'm going to talk about on the fungicides, you get out there when the cotton's cut out, you can have disease develop, but it doesn't do a thing. Wasting your money.
So are those fungicides that have to be applied preventively?
With this one, and we even with Target Spot, we've been successful using them based on scouting. So an on-demand program, particularly with this disease, I would wait to see that it's up and running before I put a fungicide on. Thank you.
Thank you.